News Radio KMAN in focus. Dave Lewis in for Brandon Peoples this morning. Today, our first segment is superintendents from the Waumego School District, Tim Winter, and also from Rock Creek, Kevin Logan, joining us. The final two segments of the show, Jim Jeanette from Manhattan Area Technical College will be joining us. So we got a lot of education on the discussion tablet for the day. Speaking of tablets, and that was almost an interesting segue.
It was very good. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Over at Waumego Elementary Schools, you're looking at some new iPads, which you got to do that.
We do. A few years ago, through our bond projects, we also included technology in our bond and purchased iPads. Right now, we have iPads for grades K through 5, and we went with laptops for 6 through 12. We try and find the best time to get new iPads, to purchase new iPads based on the return of our investment, because we can sell those iPads back. Our Apple reps, of course, like to do a 3-year rotation. The iPads could probably last much longer, but when we do a 3-year rotation, we're going to get close to 35% back for what we paid for those iPads when we sell them to another individual or another vendor that deals with used iPads. Last night or Monday night, the board approved an iPad refresh for essentially grades K through 8. We're actually going to go to iPads for our middle school as well. They're becoming just more and more like a computer. Mm-hmm. So we feel like they can do the things we need. And they also, the touch screen and the apps and so forth have a lot of other advantages that a laptop may not. But they chose to do that. It's going to be about a $350,000 project.
Boom.
But luckily we are able to get a financing plan that essentially is zero interest, and we can pay it off over 3 years. And when we sell our existing equipment, we'll generate almost a third of what these cost. So year one, we're kind of it's a wash. We won't be spending any money by the time we sell our old equipment. And then we'll be able to use some bond money that we have. And, of course, we use capital outlay and just continue to try and save as best we can so we can put the technology resources in the hands of our students. We've had them for 3 years now, and our elementary teachers just do a phenomenal job. Kids are more connected. They're more engaged. They communicate, through the use of the iPads. We can push things out to parents through the iPads electronically. Too much of anything is not good as well. We certainly need to have students engaged in textbooks and pencil on paper and
pencils.
Yeah, there's still pencils out there.
Really?
Big
Chief tablets?
What's that?
Big Chief tablets?
Big Chief. I don't know if I've seen a Big Chief tablet in a while.
I don't remember seeing those in a store in a long time.
But I just want people to know, we don't want the iPads the only tool. It's just one of the many tools that we use for all of our instruction. But they do certainly create some advantages for our students in creating and presenting and just experiencing a lot of different things.
It's nice when my 11-year-old son can tell me what I'm doing wrong with my phone.
That is nice. That is a nice luxury.
Nice is one word, but it's also like really kind of saddening, maddening at the same time.
My wife just switched to an iPhone. She was forced to, because that's the phone. That's the work phone they use. And she caught on pretty quick, but she came to me for a little help and came to my daughter for the most help.
Yeah. So. The technology aspect is obviously, it implicate. It's a big factor in everybody's lives and especially in education and these kids, I remember going to school. I had manual typewriters. I'm that old. Older than you guys.
I'm there with you. We had a few manuals also you had to rotate through.
Yeah, my fingers, I never broke a nail.
We had one typewriter in the typing room that had a little tiny screen, so you could see one line at a time being typed, and it was always a race to the classroom to see who got that typewriter.
Yeah, and when those IBM Selectrics came through, man, that was uptown. Kevin, you got a big new hire.
We do. We hired a new principal for the new to open Rock Creek Middle School next fall. Really excited to have Rachel Bussing on on staff now. She is an assistant principal in the Junction City District, and really, again, excited to have her. She's going to start putting some finishing pieces together on handbooks and schedules as she moves through the spring, working not just her day job, but also prepping our building to open along with our building leadership team that's been intact now for about 14 months. And then we'll be hiring some new positions out there also, not just licensed teaching staff, but also all the support staff that goes along from the secretary, custodial, cook staff. The new building does house the kitchen for the entire Rock Creek campus. So the current Rock Creek cafeteria and kitchen will become just a serving kitchen at that point. So be a little bit more efficient that way, but some changes in pace once again. But excited for those changes and very happy to have her on board.
Bring us up to date on the middle school.
On the middle school, it is going to be a 5th through 8th grade building. It will affect every building in our district. The 5th and 6th grades out of both elementary schools will move up to middle school. And the 7th and 8th grade in our current junior-senior high school alignment will move down to middle school. So we will have 5 grades at the elementaries from kindergarten through 4th, and then the 5-8 at the middle school, 4 grades, and 9-12 at the high school. A little bit more traditional format that way. Really looking forward to the opportunities that it brings our students at each level. You know, the 5-6, kind of that intermediate grade school age, separated from the primary a little bit, and then a true middle school experience versus the beginning high school experience for the 7th and 8th graders. It does change the structure and the culture at each of the 4 buildings now. So there's a lot of change, a lot of anxiety, I'm sure, that's happening and being felt as we move towards next fall.
How's the structure itself coming along?
Structure is wonderful. McCown Gordon, our construction management firm, is doing a great job out there. The first portion of the building to be fully finished will be the locker room, storm shelters, and the gymnasium. Actually have paint that will be going down on the gym floor this afternoon. The bleachers are completely installed. Locker rooms, I would say, are 75% to 80% complete. A lot of finishing touches as far as ceiling tile, floor coverings, and benches going into locker rooms. Countertops mainly going in coaches' offices, things like that, but looking very, very nice. Commons area and band area had the final topping floor poured on January 26th, and they'll begin polishing that later this month. It's going to be a really, really nice floor finish in there. High column ceilings, looking really, really nice in the band and the commons area. Two-story classroom area, which is what you primarily see if you're headed south down Flush from Westmoreland. Those classrooms are going to be outstanding learning spaces. 5th and 6th grade primarily on the second floor, 7th and 8th on the first floor. Just great, very similar. If you've been in our St. George classrooms, very similar to those. Same architect designed the classrooms. Restroom facilities strategically placed within each floor. And everything just looking top-notch right now.
Does that put you in a pretty good position then for growth?
Puts us in position for growth. When we added the number of classrooms that we added and the number that it would open up in our other 3 buildings, we looked that we could sustain the last 10 years average growth for the next 8 to 10 years. Now, if that significantly picks up, it's going to be, oh no, what's next? If it slows down a little bit, our district's in good financial shape and we'll be prepared for a slower growth for sure.
You know, it seems like not a month goes by when we don't have a significant business announcing that they're going to be opening up somewhere. We had one that just announced that they're opening up in Wamego, Tim, and all these things with, Caterpillar and so many entities. You know, this area just continues to grow, which poses challenges for districts.
Poses challenges, but it's definitely a good thing also. I mean, much better than to be drying up.
There's 70% of the school districts and counties in Kansas that are envious of what's happening here.
Tim and I have colleagues that, you know, we hear from them quite often, you know, on the challenges that direction. And I'd much rather have the challenges of growth than of not.
Yeah,
I would echo those same statements. I'd say the only challenge we probably – the significant challenge we have is cost of living. You know, for a teacher.
I've never
salary.
Heard that before.
You've
around
never
here.
Heard that. Yeah, that's a shocker to most of our listeners,
you know,
I'm sure. As well,
I learned so much on this show.
Yeah, but yeah, we you know, we do our best to recruit and retain our teachers, and the teaching field is there's a shortage out there. There is a real shortage out there, and we may not see the impact of it in our area, but most areas of the state struggle at all levels, not just the math and science anymore, but even elementary, there's a shortage. And Kevin and I are blessed to be in the backyard of K-State and you know, Topeka, Emporia State. All those schools are relatively close, and this is a good area to live. But the number of candidates we get for a teaching position is certainly much different than it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. And, 10 years ago, we might get 50 applicants for an elementary position. Now we might get a dozen.
Yes, our hiring practices have changed even in the last few years, where we start when we post positions, where typically we leave them open until filled, and we see good candidates come on. We want to get them in. We want to have the interviews. And if there's someone who's a good fit, we want to get the job offered instead of waiting for a day or days where we're going to interview 4 or 5 people. So I know that's changed in our district just over the last few years.
We have just a couple of minutes left in the program. Tim, I know you wanted to visit a little bit about your calendar and a couple of other things.
Sure. Well, first off, yeah, we did approve a calendar Monday night for next school year. One of the good things about the calendar, K-State spring break is moving back, trending back, so it's more in the middle of March. I think everybody's excited about that. This year, spring break is really early, and it's actually the same week as state basketball.
Yes, it's on state basketball
mm-hmm.
week.
Yeah. But the big change to our calendar, teachers take part in this process. I coordinate a calendar committee, and we look at options. We take feedback from our buildings. And for several years, we've had a little push towards a whole week off at Thanksgiving. I've kind of pushed back on that for 3 or 4 years and not even allowed it as an option. This year, there just seemed to be more and more people that wanted us to consider that. So we put it out there. We had two calendar options, and our certified staff voted on those options. And one of those was essentially the same calendar we've been running for several years. And the other one was that extra 2 days off, Monday, Tuesday off the week of Thanksgiving. So it's not a huge thing to add a day at the end of the year and maybe take a day from Christmas break, but a week off at Thanksgiving could present some challenges. It was a very close vote. I believe that vote won 63-61 from our teaching staff. The board discussed it, debated a little bit. My recommendation would have still been to stay away from that whole week off, but the board decided to go with the teachers, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. So we're going to try a week off at Thanksgiving next year and see how it goes, and hopefully we don't create too many challenges for our parents with young children and finding care. But there'll be a lot of high school kids that are out, and maybe they can come over and watch some kids.
Kevin, your board already approved your calendar as well?
We did. We approved the calendar back in our January meeting. Pretty much our basic calendar. We were, as Tim said, able to move our spring break back a week and off of that state basketball week to match up with K-State. So that's very important for mm-hmm. both of our communities, because we are so closely tied to Kansas State, whether that be some of our employees that have a spouse or a family member that works at K-State or attends there. So that dictates when that place is. We were able to have a longer Christmas break once again, which teachers really appreciate and like, and families seem to also. So we haven't moved to the full week Thanksgiving break, so I'll be interested to hear how that goes.
Good luck with that. Any other final thoughts here, some things you want to squeeze in before we move on?
Well, one thing, our high school principal, Cale Catt, who's in his first year and doing a fantastic job, he presented some new classes for approval to the board. Monday night, mainly CTE type classes, shop, business related classes. But one course is, and it's kind of a whole program, not just a course, but really getting kids exposed to career interests and career fields, offering shadowing internship experiences, and then even going out on the job and maybe getting paid, maybe not getting paid, but either way, asking kids to do some journaling, do some reflective thinking, and they'll actually get a credit, a high school credit for this, uh, for for working, for going out, leaving school. I know years and years ago we called it work study, but you were just basically allowed to leave and go help on the farm or go help at the local grocery store. But we really want this to be an experience where kids think about what can this offer me and provide me to enhance my future and what I want to do, and just get some experiences. And so this is kind of a work-to-credit type program where they can go out and get some good experience, learn some things about something they're interested in, and get high school credit for it.
Kevin?
I'd just like to say a thank you to all teachers out there, especially our Rock Creek staff. February can be a long month as there's—
It's supposed to be short.
It is a short month, but it can be a long month in education. A lot of short days, a lot of cold days, and the activity schedule just changes. So just want to say thank you for all that you do, and we really do appreciate it.
Thanks to both of you for coming in and joining us here on KMAN's In Focus this morning.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, good to have you in. Tim Witter with the Waumego School District, and Kevin Logan with Rock Creek joining us here this morning. In our next couple of segments, Jim Jeanette with the Manhattan Area Technical College will be joining us here on News Radio KMAN's In Focus.